Happy New Year. Is this the year we're going to get a new Pope? How will President Trump do in his second term in office? Will the Catholic Church shrink or grow this year? And will this be the year of the Catholic? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sam, your host, editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, as always, even though it's a new year, I still want you to smash that like button. Also, I want you to subscribe to the channel. Let other people know about it. We really appreciate when you do that. That lets other people hear about the stuff we're doing here. Also, you can follow us on social media. Just go to any social media site, basically, at Crisis Mag is where we'll be. I think we're most active probably on X and on Facebook, but we're at the other places as well. Also, you can subscribe to our email newsletter. Just go to crisismagazine.com, putting your email address. It's like in the middle of the front page. You can do that. And we will send you our articles every morning, usually two a day. The last thing I wanted to mention was that last month, as you know, if you've been following the channel, we were doing our fundraising campaign, our twice a year. This is our end of year fundraising campaign. We had a goal of raising $150,000. And thanks to you, we did that. We met it. I think we met on the last day. I think we got 156, something like that. It was 150s. But we surpassed our goal of $150,000. I really do appreciate that. I promise not to bug you again about fundraising until probably like May or June. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. We won't have that annoying pop-up on the website anymore asking you to give. I know some people don't like that. But, you know, honestly, we have to do what we do to let this content all be free. So anyway. Okay, let's go ahead and get started on, it's 2025 now. And I'm going to make some predictions what I think is going to happen this year. We can go back to this. I'm hoping to remember at the end of the year. Remind me if I don't remember at the end of this year to go back and see what my predictions were, to see if I was right, if I was wrong, or what have you. Also, by the way, at the end of this podcast, if we have anybody in the live chat who has comments or questions or anything like that, I'll try to address them. Okay, the first one is, will we have a new Pope this year? Pope Francis is not a young man. He is 88. And so his years on this earth are coming to an end relatively soon. I mean, sooner than most people. I don't think that's a really controversial statement. And I am going to predict that, yes, in 2025, Pope Francis will go on to his eternal reward, which means we'll get a new pope. Now, what will the next pope be like? That's the real prediction. That's the real thing that matters more than anything. I am going to say, I firmly believe, I do not think the next pope will be a Francis II. I'm not saying he necessarily won't take the name Francis II. I'm just saying he won't be like Francis. I know there's a lot of speculation because of the fact that Francis has picked the vast majority of all the cardinals, the voting cardinals. I think he's picked like 70-some percent, 80%, something like that. People think, therefore, the next pope's going to be just like him. I don't think that's true for a few reasons. The first one is, if you look at his cardinal selections, it's true that he picks a lot of ideologues, like progressive ideologues in the United States and also some Western European countries like England, places like that. I mean, the cardinals he's picked in the United States are all very much follow the progressive line. Supich, McElroy, Gregory, people like that. But if you look broad, so I can see why an American might think, oh, all the cardinals are like that. The next pope's going to be just like Francis. But if you look at all the cardinals he has picked, he really does pick from a diverse geographic region. I mean, he likes to pick people from various places around the world that don't normally get cardinals. For example, I mean, he picked the Bishop of Baghdad, Iraq, I believe, as a cardinal. And people like that, they're not consumed with like the Western progressive agenda. I don't think the Bishop of Baghdad spends his time thinking about, okay, how should we minister to transgender people? I don't think he's like his top on his list of concerns is, do we bless homosexual unions? And so I do think that the next pope is not going to be a Francis, because I think a lot of the people he's picked as cardinal don't have the same concerns and priorities that Francis does. I also think there's a really good chance the next pope will not be like Francis, simply because so much of the episcopacy, including the cardinalate, they just don't want the mess that as Francis would put it, that Francis has made, the conflict within the church. I mean, the best example of this, of course, is Traditionis Custodis, when Pope Francis restricted the traditional Latin Mass. I think what that did was it caused so many problems for bishops that they didn't need to have. And I think that's something that the next pope, I think the personality of the next pope won't be like Francis. Now, it is possible the next pope will be ideologically aligned with Francis. I just think that personality-wise, it's not going to be somebody who's trying to push a progressive agenda in spite of opposition. I think that's the most likely. So I think it's going to be somebody who's moderate to liberal. I know these are not always the best terms, moderate to liberal, but with a more mild temperament than Francis has. Another prediction I want to make underneath this is that no matter who is elected pope, the Sede Vacantis won't accept him as a valid pope. I think the fact is they've run down a path that is a dead end. They have no way to get a pope. And so they're not going to ever have a pope. Anybody who stays Sede Vacantis will remain Sede Vacantis. I mean, they're not going to all of a sudden decide that the person who's elected next is going to be a valid pope. And by Sede Vacantis, I am including everybody who does not think there's a valid pope right now. So whether you've thought there hasn't been a valid pope since 1956 or since 2013 or whatever, or since 2020, whenever Pope Benedict died, was that 22, something like that. If you don't think there's a valid pope now, you won't think there's a valid pope when the next pope is elected. And I think that's sad. And those people need to come back into the unity of the church and just recognize that Francis is pope and the next pope who is universally acclaimed as pope will be a valid pope. So those are my predictions when it comes to the papacy. We will get a new pope this year. He will not be a Francis ideologue and that the Sedes will not accept him as a pope, no matter who is elected. And it won't be by another bold prediction here. It won't be a transgender woman or whatever it would be. So like the movie Conclave said. Next prediction. Okay. Opposition to Trump. Now I've been asked this by some people, a number of people, like, do you think they're going to let President Trump become president on January 20th at the inauguration? Do you think they're going to try to stop that in some way? And I do think that they will not. I think Trump will be inaugurated on January 20th without any issue. I mean, there might be some demonstrations and even some violence potentially in Washington, D.C. in January 20th. Personally, I would not go to the inauguration. I'm not going to go to inauguration. I don't think it's a good idea to go to inauguration. I realize that might reduce the you know, how many people go out for it. If people think like I do, I just think there's no real benefit. And there's some definite potential drawbacks there. I don't think it's going to be some massive movement. I don't think the deep state's going to keep him from being president. I think what's more likely is that the deep state will do all it can to basically undermine Trump throughout his 4 years as president. There may even be attempts to assassinate him over those 4 years. There probably will be attempts. I mean, there was two attempts when he was running for president. There are obviously probably going to continue to be attempts. Well, I can't, of course, predict whether or not they'll be successful. The point is that there will be a opposition to Trump, but I think it's not going to be like a outward, okay, let's overthrow his presidency. It's going to be, let's do everything we can to make him come across as a failed president, to undermine everything he does. And so I think that's the most likely scenario with the opposition to Trump, not an overthrow, but more of a just undermine. The deep state is going to definitely work hard against Trump. Speaking of Trump, my next prediction is that Trump will disappoint. I think, honestly, of all the predictions I'm going to make here, this is the most obvious one. And I'm saying this to somebody who voted for Trump, who's become a much bigger fan of Trump than I used to be. People who listen to podcasts regularly know I did not vote for Trump in 2016. I begrudgingly voted for him in 2020, and I happily voted for him in 2024. I've really come around to see that there's a lot of good things about a Trump presidency that I hadn't seen before. That being said, I think it's clear Trump is going to disappoint us. And by us, I mean like socially conservative Catholics. We already know, I mean, he disappointed us some in the election and in the campaign by downplaying pro-life issues, by endorsing IVF, things like that. And I think basically the reason I say he's going to disappoint is that a very high bar has been set for Trump. A lot of it based on his own language of things he says he's going to do and he can accomplish, and by his proxies, what they say they can do. The reality is the deep state and just the bureaucracy of Washington, D.C. is too entrenched to just overcome it, even with, you know, by a single presidency, even one by Donald Trump. Donald Trump may know a lot more now than he did in 2016 about draining the swamp, but he's still not going to be fully successful. Like, for example, I think DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, run by Ilhan Vivek, I think that will be mildly successful. That might even be, I mean, might be overstating it. In other words, yes, it will eliminate parts of the government. It will reduce the budget, you know, reduce the spending some, but not in any significant way. I don't think it's going to all of a sudden make it where things are going to be, you know, radically better because of DOGE. Same thing with RFK, with Health and Human Services, assuming he is able to, his nomination goes through. I think he will make some differences, you know, make a difference in some areas, but it's not going to be a major difference. And I think we're going to be kind of disappointed. I think those of us who hope for more are going to be disappointed. Now, I want to make it clear. He's going to be a heck of a lot better than Harris would have been as president. I'm not like claiming he's going to be a bad president or, you know, something like that, or worse than Harris or anything like that, or even as bad as Harris. I just think he's going to be disappointing. He's not going to be as successful in making the changes he kind of ran on. I'm hoping, honestly, he just does some basic stuff, and that and I'm going to talk about a few of those here in a minute. But I think if he just does some of the basic things of kind of reversing a lot of stuff the Biden administration did, I think that would be a major victory, honestly. Next prediction, the influence of Catholics. I believe there's a good chance that Catholics will be very influential in the upcoming year in America, but even throughout the world. What do I mean by that? First of all, we have a Catholic, a serious Catholic, as vice president. We had we have an apostate Catholic as the current president in Joe Biden, but now we're going to have a Catholic who actually takes his faith seriously as the vice president, who's going to be very influential in the administration. I think J.D. Vance brings his Catholicism to the table. I mean, I was disappointed in him as well during the campaign that he didn't really come out against IVF, or at least kind of sound like he endorsed those things that we can't endorse as Catholics. That being said, he's clearly a serious Catholic, a practicing Catholic, and I think that's going to have an impact. And I think it's going to bring people to kind of look at Catholicism again. I'll talk about that in another prediction. I think RFK, okay, I know the level of RFK's Catholicism is in question. I realize he's not even a practicing Catholic, really. But he is Catholic, and he does talk about his faith. He prays the rosary. So, I mean, there is some, you know, obviously he's a Catholic from a Catholic family and whatnot. I think he's going to be very influential this year, particularly when it comes to health, when it comes to, you know, the issues regarding vaccines and things like that. And I think that's going to be a good thing. So I think he's going to be influential as well. I think also worldwide, I think Catholics will make a difference. I think in, for example, in the Middle East, Cardinal Pizzaballa, I think is already made a major difference there. He has been quite an influence, I believe, in trying to recognize the evils being done on both sides. And I think, frankly, when it comes to most of us, he's revealing the evils being done by Israel, because a lot of people who are conservative Catholics in America don't want to acknowledge those evils. Like, we all acknowledge the evils done by Hamas. And I think, and he exposes those as well, but I think he also exposes the evils of Israel. And I think he's a good influence on Pope Francis when it comes to this. And so I do think that there will be an influence. Now, note the people I'm talking about who will make an influence in Catholicism are the people who are really going to stand up for kind of countercultural things. The Catholics who go along and get along, the Cardinal Supiches, the Cardinal Gregories, people like that, they don't have any influence. I mean, they have a certain influence by nature of their office, but they don't have any influence in the sense of all of a sudden, they're not going to make conversions. They're not going to make a real difference in the world. They're just going to whine about progressive causes and nobody's going to listen to them, which is a good thing. But I think there will be a big influence of Catholics in the world today. Next prediction, a baby boom is incoming. This is my prediction. Okay. There was a baby boom in 2020, which I think we all know why that happened. People were home a lot more with COVID. But traditionally, over the past decade, since 2000 or so, there have been less babies born each year, and there were less born in 2024 than 2020 or 2023 and 2022. And I think, though, the number of children being born will increase. I think there was a shift in our culture in 2024 that was seen in the Trump presidency. I think the Trump presidency didn't cause, and the Trump election didn't cause the shift. I think the shift caused the Trump election. What I mean by that is there was finally a moment, I think, where most people said, listen, this is just stupid what we're doing. The whole woke crap, we're not going along with this anymore. The whole like America sucks thing, we're not going along with that anymore. We're just, you know, we're Americans. We're happy. We're proud to be Americans. Yeah, we know we have our faults, but we're proud to be Americans. And we're not going to put up with any of this like transgender stuff and all that stuff. And we're just going to live our lives as Americans, as Christians, many would say Christians, or even just as people who believe the best in our neighbor, believe in what we're doing as a country. All of that leads to optimism. Optimism leads to more children. That's just the way the world works. When you're pessimistic about the future, you're going to be less likely to have kids. Now, I know most of the people I'm talking to are devout Catholics who aren't using birth control and are having as many kids as they can, as God wills. We're going to keep having a number of kids. I mean, I'm too old for that now. My wife and I are too old for that, but having grandkids, hopefully a lot more. But the point is I think that more and more people are going to be having more kids. I think there's an optimism in the country now that did not exist even a year ago. And I think you're going to see a difference. So my prediction is that in 2025, we're going to see an increase in the number of babies born compared to previous years. Continue on the optimistic front. I think the war in Ukraine will end in 2025. I think this is just going to follow from Donald Trump being president. Joe Biden wanted the war in Ukraine to last as long as possible. He continues to send them money. When I say he, we know what I mean, the administration. He's not in charge. I mean, I just think they sent another $2.5 billion this week. They're trying to send as much as they can. The money printer is about to break. It's going so hard. And I think, though, that once Trump comes in, he recognizes this is not something we want to continue. And I think ultimately there will be a ceasefire at first and hopefully then a complete resolution to the conflict in Ukraine. The most likely scenario, I think, that I predict will happen is that basically what Russia wanted in March of 2022, they're going to get, which is Ukraine will agree not to join NATO, that the Donbas region will be either basically independent, but really under Russian control. And Ukraine will get some assurances of protection, but that's about it. And it'll be over. So in other words, thousands and thousands of people died for no reason, because this is what would have happened in March of 2022. And now it's going to happen, whether you like it or not. That's what we could have done almost three years ago. So I really think the war in Ukraine is going to end. And we'll have at least a ceasefire, and then I think it'll end completely in 2025, which, praise God, I pray that this one is an accurate one. Next prediction, peace in the Middle East. Okay, what do I mean by that? I need a short title. I had a longer title about Israel will stop attacking Gaza, blah, blah, blah. Really, what do I predict in Middle East? I think ultimately in 2025, nothing is going to change regarding our relationship, the United States' relationship with Israel. We're going to continue to back them wholeheartedly with no exceptions, with no pushback whatsoever, which I think is awful. I think what my hope is, though, with Trump as president, that the bombing will stop, the attacks will stop by Israel on Gaza, on Palestine, that area, and that there will be basically a ceasefire. They're not going to really be a peace. I don't think that. But I do think that the current conflict will wind up and be over. I think it's a tragedy what's happening there. I think it's awful. I think what the United States involvement's awful. I'm very well acknowledged that Trump very much answers to Israeli lobby in this country as much as any other politician does. But I think Trump does not like being in control. He doesn't like looking like he's being told what to do. He's an alpha male, kind of traditionally. He's not going to look like he's the lackey of Israel. So he's going to tell Netanyahu and others, hey, listen, you got to stop this. And I think he'll make it so that it does stop. I'm putting a lot. I mean, the funny thing is I had a prediction that Trump's going to disappoint earlier. Now I'm saying he's going to end the war in Ukraine and in the Middle East. So, I mean, my level of disappointment, you can tell my expectations are pretty high. If I'm still think I'm going to be disappointed by Trump, even though I think he can accomplish these two things in 2025. So perhaps I'm a little bit too high in my expectations of Donald Trump. But I do hope and pray for peace in the Middle East. Next prediction, Bitcoin will rise. I think that traditionally, if you look at how Bitcoin operates, it goes up, it goes in 4-year cycles, and every fourth year it goes down. This is the third year of the cycle, and so the last year before it goes down, 2026. So I think it will go up. It's around 100,000 right now, maybe 97. I think it'll go up. Why do I bring this up? Because I think Bitcoin is very important for the future of our country. In fact, I'm going to announce it here for the first time on this podcast. I actually signed a contract to write a book on the Catholic case for Bitcoin, because I do think it's very important. I know a lot of my audience might think it's kind of weird that I talk about Bitcoin some and I address that, but I do think it's an important piece. It's not going to cause a utopia. It's not the solution, the silver bullet, anything like that. I do think it's an important piece in stabilizing the economy of our country and frankly helping the poor and the middle class get out of the hole that our fiat economy has gotten us into. So that's my prediction regarding Bitcoin. And also my prediction is my book will be published in 2025. Fingers crossed on that one. Okay. Next one, conversions and apostasies. What do I mean by this one? I predict that I've noticed, first of all, before I make a prediction, I've noticed over the past year, I've seen what seems like a flood of conversions to Catholicism. It's amazing. I feel like I open up X almost at least once a week. I see somebody saying, I'm now becoming Catholic. Just some random person saying, I'm becoming Catholic. I'm not talking about big name people. I'm just talking about individuals. We're like, I'm now going to become Catholic. I think this is an amazing thing, a work of the Holy Spirit that's happening here, where people are recognizing the truth and fullness of the Catholic of Christianity in the Catholic faith. That if you want to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to become Catholic, period, end of story. There's no other way about it. I wrote a book, you know, my most recent book from a couple years ago, Deadly Indifference, that talked about the church leaders undermining that message, that the fullness of Catholicism, the fullness of Christianity, the fullness of the truth is found in the Catholic Church. If you want to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, become Catholic. That just do that. And I think 2025 is going to see a lot more of these conversions. I think a lot more people are going to be coming into the faith. I think there will also be apostasies. We've seen high-profile people leave the faith, become sedi vacantis, whatever the case may be, often because of their being scandalized by church leaders, particularly Pope Francis and others. And I think we probably will have a couple more of those this year. That's just the way things are. I do think, though, that there will be a number of conversions. Now, the question is, will the Catholic Church grow or shrink during 2025? I think in America it's going to shrink. I'm as optimistic I am in seeing people become Catholic. The fact is I recognize the church is very weak right now. Its message has been diluted, and so a lot of people leave the Catholic Church who grew up Catholic, but grew up Catholic in a very wishy-washy way. And so I think we will still see an exodus outside the church. I think we have a number of years ahead of us of decline before we see that, not barring the Holy Spirit doing something different, of course. I think we have a number of years decline until we see a turn back. I think at least till 2030, we're going to see a significant decrease in the number of Catholics every year in America and in most Western developed countries. I'm not talking about Africa or South America, but I do think we're going to see a lot of good Protestants becoming Catholic, which I think is a beautiful thing. Yes, we're going to lose more in numbers of kind of people who grew up in wishy-washy, bland Catholic families, but we're going to see some really faithful Protestants becoming Catholic again, and or becoming Catholic for the first time. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think something we need to remember. Next prediction, the traditional MS will continue to grow in popularity. This one is like also an easy one. I mean, this one is like, it just the way it is. The fact is the traditional Lent Mass is the antidote to our cultural malaise that we've had in the Catholic Church, I should say. I think, like I said, in America, I think things are starting to turn around. The Catholic Church still needs to work on that. And I think the traditional Lent Mass is the antidote. like I said, with Bitcoin not being the silver bullet, I don't think that traditional mass is the silver bullet. I think it's a major piece of the puzzle. And I think what happens is when people experience it, they can't help but fall in love with it. I mean, I don't know how many Catholics I've met who were Catholic and they were practicing, but then they just felt like something was missing. They went to traditional Latin mass and thought, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm not going anywhere else. So I do think that's going to happen. I do think there could be some shutdowns of Catholic TLM parishes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like rose-colored glasses and blind to that still happening. I do think that's decreased, though. And it's become less the modus operandi of the Vatican and bishops to shut down traditional Latin masses. I think they kind of like, okay, we're just going to leave them alone. And I think, though, over the next year, I think there'll be more. There's no numbers on this, so I probably my prediction next year, I don't know how we're going to say it's true or not, but my prediction is there will be more people attending the traditional Latin mass on January 1st, 2026 than there were on January 1st, 2025. I think it's just going to continue to grow. Last prediction, and this is really not a prediction, this is more my little homily at the end, but what matters is you. Really, how are you going to live? How am I going to live as a Catholic this year? And I really believe we need to make 2025 a year in which we improve ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically. I know everybody makes New Year's resolutions and they falter by February, but I really believe with the grace of God, as Catholics, we really need to step up. We need to step up and make this the year of the Catholic. The year of Catholic isn't because of J.D. Vance or RFK or Cardinal Pizzaballa, as much as people like that matter and make an impact. You're a Catholic happens because of you, because of me. That's how it happens. Improve yourself spiritually. What practice can you do? Be very practical about this. You're going to pray 15 more minutes every day. You're going to start praying the rosary every day and you didn't before. You'll go to mass one extra day a week for the entire year. Maybe you'll go to confession more regularly. Maybe you're going once a month. Now you'll go twice a month. Something like that. Make a very practical resolution spiritually that you're going to do something like that. And because I think that's very important that we do that. Mentally, I think we need to improve as well. It's amazing how few people read books. I mean, we read all the time, but we're reading on social media, on our phones, or whatever the case may be. Read a book. I mean, we need to read books. That's how we get more intelligent. That's how we can see the world better. That's how we evaluate what we see around us. Read books, read lots of books. And so if you weren't reading books before, start. If you read books before, try to up your how much you read, how many books you read a year. I kind of go in ways, but I probably I'm trying to think how many books I probably read in a year. I'm usually reading two or three books at a time. It depends on the length of the book. I guess I probably read maybe five or six books in a month, maybe less than that, maybe four or five books in a month. And so 12 months, that's maybe 45 to 60 books in a year. I need to track it some year just to see. I don't really track the books I read. But whatever, however many you read now, read more. Because I guarantee you have time to read more books because you could not scroll on social media as much, maybe, or something like that. Why not watch as many movies? And instead, read a book. So improve yourself mentally by reading more books. And finally, improve yourself physically. I really believe this is important. That's why I'm so excited about RFK taking over HHS, is because I do think our physical health matters, because I think it ties into our spiritual health. In my own experience, when I am physically unfit, I'm not exercising, I'm not eating well. That's my big challenge for me. Not eating well, whatever the case may be. I get more lethargic, I lose energy, and I lose spiritual energy. I'm not as apt to pray as much as I would. I'm not as apt to do works of mercy as much as I would. And so I really think that we need to improve ourselves spiritually. And then the other thing I would just say is don't obsess about things you can't control. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now. We've had these terrorist attacks just this week. I realize those things can cause us a lot of anxiety and stress. Control what you can control and don't worry about what you can't control. So improve yourself spiritually, mentally, physically this year. And I think it will be a great year if you do that. And then one last thing I wanted to mention about what matters is you is also resolve this year to try to bring somebody else into the church. Now you can't make the final decision for them. The Holy Spirit does that. But think about somebody. I don't know who it is, of course, somebody in your life that's not Catholic or not practicing Catholic. And resolve to do what you can, first of all, through lots and lots of prayer, through lots and lots of acts of penance, and then through your actions to them, try to bring them into or back into the Catholic Church. Think about if everybody did that. Everybody who's listening to this, even that alone would be a huge number of people into the church. So really resolve to do that in 2025. I'm going to do that as well. I haven't decided who it's going to be, but I'm going to try to bring somebody, and we'll see what happens. Again, the Holy Spirit makes the final decision. You can't actually force somebody into church, but you can do a lot to help bring them in. Okay, finally, let's go ahead and do the comments from the live chat here. We have, let me see, I always take my glasses. Bella Moore says, I think Trump will enter the Catholic Church in 2025. Oh, from your lips or your keyboard to God's ears. I mean, that would be, I mean, would that not, okay, that I think, Bella, you're getting the comment of the year. It's only the second day of the year because I'm with you on that. If that happened, can you imagine what would happen if Donald Trump entered the Catholic Church in 2025? He started, you know, he governed as a Catholic, the influence that would have on, oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm with you. Let's just make that, we're going to make that our prediction because we're going to ask God for that to happen. We're going to pray, God, please have Donald Trump enter the Catholic Church in 2025. Maybe J.D. Vance will be the one that brings him in. Okay, James says, Tom Homan, oh yeah, that's the immigration chief, going to be immigration chief, talks big, but he admits without congressional support, mass deportation will fail. Exactly. I mean, that's just the reality as far as like Trump disappointing. When I say Trump disappointing, I mean the Trump administration. It's not necessarily all his fault, just the reality of Washington, D.C., the swamp and Congress. The biggest enemy in my mind of Donald Trump and his administration are the establishment Republicans, not the Democrats, because you already know they're opposed to you. But if you just got every Republican behind Trump, they would be able to pass things in Congress. But the fact is, some of them will not. And that's our biggest issue. Okay, another comment. Theodore says, we need a Catholic altcoin, perhaps a mixed currency where the cyber currency is the dollars and saints medals are the cents. Okay, I like your idea. I like your thinking. I personally think Bitcoin is the way to go, that we don't really need another altcoin. I think Bitcoin is a moral money. In fact, that's what I'm going to be talking about in my next book, is I think it's a moral money that Catholics can and should embrace, that it's very much in keeping with Catholic social teaching, with Catholic view of economics and what all that. So I really think that Bitcoin is the Catholic altcoin, so to speak. Okay, well, again, Happy New Year to everybody who is joined in. I really appreciate you, the people who do the live chat and make the comments. Hopefully we'll keep doing that this year. But my biggest prediction for the year is just simply that God is in control and nothing will happen in 2025 that God does not either will or permit to happen. And I think we can have a lot of peace in knowing that fact. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.